Very few men in all of the Bible's history have the testimony of this man named Daniel. Daniel was a man who refused to let anything deter him from his desire to live for the Lord. His surroundings did not change him, peer pressure could not change him, and even the conspiracies of his enemies would not change his desire to be faithful unto God. The Bible records for us that Daniel lived the life of a captive. He was a man who was brought from his homeland in Jerusalem, some 700 miles away, to the Babylonian kingdom. And there he was forced to live against his will. During his time in Babylon, he served under three different kings. And by the time we come to chapter 6, Daniel was serving under King Darius. And it was during this time that Daniel had one of the greatest temptations or trials of his entire life. But I want you to notice something by way of introduction this morning about Daniel. I want you to see with me that even though Daniel had many trials, he maintained a great attitude in his life. The Bible says in verse number 3, "Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm." Daniel was a man that had an excellent spirit. You know, I believe today, men, that is something that each of us should desire to have said about us, that we have an excellent spirit. He was a man who had, in today's vernacular, a great attitude. And it was because of that that he was lifted up in the empire. It was because of that that he attained what we might call today the place of the prime minister. He was a man in great authority. His attitude truly had determined his altitude. Putting his trust in God had brought him to a place where he was greatly elevated in the eyes of his peers. Now, it was because of this place of prominence that many men became very jealous of Daniel. In fact, these other governors and princes became so jealous of Daniel that they began to plot a way that they could ruin him and even have him thrown into the den of lions. By the way, that was a reality in Daniel's day. That was the way that they dealt with criminals and people who disobeyed the decree of the king. The Bible tells us of their conspiracy in verse number 7. The presidents and the governors and the princes consulted together with the counselors or the attorneys, and they made a petition, and they said that for the next 30 days, no one is allowed to pray to anyone except to the king. They brought this statute to the king, and they asked the king to sign it into law. "Whoever prays to anyone except you, O king, will be cast into the den of lions." Well, when the decree was signed into law, Daniel was faced with another choice in his life. And as we consider Daniel at this point, here he is, a man of prominence, a man of stature, but also a man who loves God, a man whose habit was to pray three times every day to God and to give his honor unto the Lord Jesus Christ in prayer. Well, as Daniel spent time in prayer each day, now a choice was made. Would he obey the decree of the land? Maybe he could find a way around this law. Maybe he could pray silent prayers, or maybe he could take a 30-day sabbatical from prayer and just not pray for 30 days, or perhaps he could just close the window while he prayed. And many choices could have been made, but Daniel made the right choice, and his choice was to honor God no matter what was going on around him in his society. I want you to see three things today about Daniel's choice. Three truths about Daniel's choice that I trust will help all of us to make the right choices in this day in which we live. Notice, first of all, the testimony of Daniel. The testimony of Daniel. The Bible says in verse 10, "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime." We see, first of all, that Daniel's testimony was purposeful. Daniel did what he did on purpose. The Bible says in verse 10 that when he knew that the writing was signed. You see, Daniel was a man who deliberately obeyed God. What we are seeing here this morning is the obedience of a courageous man. like another man in the Bible named Nehemiah. When his enemies tried to get him off of the project of building the wall around Jerusalem, Nehemiah said in Nehemiah 6 and verse 11, "And I said, should such a man as I flee?" Nehemiah said, "I'm not the running kind. I'm not going to come off of this project. I'm doing what I'm doing on purpose. God has called me to this work." And I believe today a great testimony is before us. Here was a man who obeyed God on purpose. I trust that you are here in church today on purpose. I trust that when we had the offering a moment ago, you did what you did on purpose. I trust that you'll read the Word of God this week on purpose, or stand up for the name of Christ on purpose. And you see, Nehemiah was a man whose testimony was a great testimony because he just purposed in his heart that no matter what these counselors conspired, he was going to be faithful unto his God. I read years ago this saying, and I framed it and placed it on my desk maybe 10 or 11 years ago. And it simply says, "Lord, I am willing to receive what you give, to lack what you withhold, to relinquish what you take, to suffer what you inflict, to be what you require. And Lord, if others are to be your messengers to me, I am willing to hear and heed what they have to say. Amen." Now, I really believe that in Daniel's life, he was saying something like this. As he opened up the window and began to pray to God, I believe he was saying, "Lord, I'm willing to receive what you give. I'm willing to lack what you withhold, to relinquish what you take, to suffer what you inflict, because, Lord, I want to be what you want me to be." And you see, here in Daniel's life is a testimony of a man who did what he did on purpose because he wanted to be what God wanted him to be. And the Bible says in Isaiah 26 and verse 3, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." And God gave Daniel a great peace in his heart because his trust was in God. I heard about a man named Ivan who was in a Russian prison camp for many years. And Ivan would go into the corner of his cell, and for many hours every day he would pray to God and he would call out to God. He would close his eyes there in the corner of that cell, and he would envision the gates of heaven, and he would envision the blessings of God, and he would pray out loud many times. Well, one of the men in the prison cell finally said to him one day, he said, "Ivan, your prayers aren't going to get us out of this prison cell one day earlier." And Ivan looked up from his time in prayer, and he looked at his prison cellmate there, and he said, "I do not pray to get out of prison. I pray to do the will of God." And you see, Daniel was not a man who was praying for any particular reason other than for the fact it was the will of God for his life. And so he prayed because there was great purpose in his life. He knew that the writing had been signed. He knew it was now against the law. Yet he had purpose to do what God had called him to do. My friends, I do not know what will come into this land prior to the time that Jesus returns again. We do not know what laws will be passed concerning prayer, concerning preaching, concerning witnessing. But I ask you today, will we have the fortitude? Will we have the purpose of the apostles of old who said we ought to obey God rather than man? And this was the kind of purpose that Daniel had in his heart, regardless of the law that was passed. He knew that God had called him to be a man of prayer. He knew that the writing was signed, yet he prayed to Almighty God. In fact, the Bible says here in verse number 10 that his windows were open toward Jerusalem. He was deliberately identifying with God and with God's holy city of Jerusalem. He was publicly identifying with God in this time of prayer. You know, there's a New Testament parallel to that thought. The Bible says in Matthew 10, 32, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father, which is in heaven." But Matthew 10, 33 says, "Whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I deny before my Father, which is in heaven." You know, Jesus says that he is calling for men who will honestly and openly identify with him. Men who will dare to be a Daniel. Men who will dare to pray and dare to trust and dare to believe in God. You see, that's what baptism is all about. When someone is baptized in water, they are identifying publicly with Christ and his church, and they're saying, "I am not ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ." Oh, in this day, so many times teenagers want to fit in with the crowd, and college-age students want to fit in with the crowd, and even moms and dads at work want to fit in with the crowd of this world. But Daniel was a man who said, "It may not be popular, it may not even be lawful to pray, but I am purposefully going to pray to my God and identify as a man of God. Here was a man who did what he did on purpose. Here was a man who was driven by godly purposes in his life, not emotions, not feelings, but by God-ordained purposes for his life. But notice, not only was his testimony a purposeful testimony, but of course it was a prayerful testimony. Notice again in verse 10, it says he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day, and he prayed, and he gave thanks to the God of heaven. His life was a prayerful life. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this morning, prayer will make a man cease from sin, or sin will entice a man to cease from prayer. Prayer will make a man cease from sin, or sin will make a man cease from prayer. And we see one of the reasons here, one of the secrets to the fact that Daniel had such an impeccable testimony was the fact that he was a man of prayer. And because 3 times a day he went to prayer, his life was changed. His testimony was vibrant as a child of God. Now, I want to show you 4 quick lessons about prayer from Daniel's life. And you may have to jot them to the side of your notes or some other place. But for those of you that are trying to cultivate prayer and learn more about prayer, learn from Daniel this morning. I see 4 things. First of all, Daniel had a specific time to pray. Daniel prayed at a specific time. It says 3 times a day he prayed. The Bible says in Psalm 55:16, "As for me, I will call upon the Lord, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice." Now, you know, many of us have appointments this week. Some may have a doctor's appointment. Some may have an appointment to get your hair done, ladies. Some of you may have an appointment at work of some kind. But Daniel had appointments with God. 3 times a day, he met with God specifically to pray. 3 times a day, he cried out to God. I believe if we would be successful in prayer, we must have a specific time to pray. Secondly, Daniel had a specific place to pray. A specific place to pray. The Bible says that he went to his chamber where the window was open. 3 times a day, this was his habit. He went to a specific place at a specific time. Now, I challenge you this morning, think in your mind, do you have a place where you really can pray? Maybe it's the kitchen table. Maybe it's a place in your bedroom. Maybe it's a place by the fireplace. Maybe at work, it's in your car at lunchtime. Wherever it might be, but think in your mind, where can you meet with God? Where can you spend some time just talking to him and asking for his help and guidance in your life? Daniel had a specific place and a specific time. Thirdly, I see in Daniel's life a specific posture. The Bible tells us that he knelt to pray. Now, I realize that not in every case can we kneel to pray. For example, at work. But I believe God is looking for the posture of our heart to be a posture of humility before him. And here we see that Daniel knelt and he prayed toward Jerusalem, a man of faith, trusting in God. Then there's a 4th matter concerning his prayer. He not only had a specific time and a specific place and a specific posture, but he had a specific attitude in his prayer. Notice verse 10 again. It says, "And he prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime." His specific attitude was an attitude of thanks. Now keep this in mind, please. Daniel was away from home, of refuge in a foreign land. He was being conspired against by all of his peers who were jealous of him because he had such a great attitude and a great prominent position. And they began to criticize him. And yet in the midst of that, Daniel still was giving thanks. The Bible says in Philippians 4 and verse 6, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God with thanksgiving." You see, God's will is that in everything we would give thanks. Over the years that I've been preaching and been involved in working with folks in the context of the local church, I've seen a lot of folks get discouraged and many times falter back in their Christian life, and all of us have those times of struggles. Unfortunately, I've seen some that even come to the place where their focus becomes so off of Christ that they finally find themselves not even worshiping Christ in any way. And that's a tragedy. But if I were to say to you, what I really believe to be the core initial beginning of that process. Many other things happen along the way of backsliding, but at the core beginning of that process, where does it all begin? I would say to you, it begins with a lack of gratitude. It begins with a lack of gratitude and unthankfulness. Whereas at one time they said, boy, thank God for my wife. Thank God for my husband. Thank God for the Bible. Thank God for our church. Thank God for that choir. Thank God for these wonderful people. All of a sudden, those things weren't so wonderful anymore. And they found themselves not being grateful anymore. And it began to take a toll in their life. And slowly, they found themselves falling away from things that were precious. Now, I see in the Word of God that Daniel never lost his gratitude. Regardless of what was going on in his life, he kept a thankful spirit. So he was purposeful in his testimony. He was prayerful in his testimony. Notice, thirdly, he was persistent in his testimony. Notice what it says there in verse 10 at the very last. As he did aforetime. As he did aforetime. Now, here we see a man that no matter what was going on in his life, he was going to meet with God. We know that we can meet with our God tomorrow at morning, noon, and night. There are some things in your life that God does not intend should ever change. And Daniel, as he did aforetime, before the law, after the law, during the law, no matter what was going on, he knew that his God was always going to be faithful. And I want to tell you, friends, you and I need to have that kind of a prayer life, that no matter what's going on in our life, that kind of a persistency, no matter what's happening in our life, we are going to have our relationship with God as the center point of our life. Other things around that may change, but our relationship will never change. Our prayer time will never change. And so here we see a man that was faithful and persistent in his prayer. Now, I want to suggest to you this morning that the only part of the Bible you and I really believe is the part we obey. The only part of the Bible we really believe is the part that we obey. And you see, Daniel obeyed God concerning prayer and concerning faithfulness. And because of that, the testimony of Daniel became a great testimony in his day. Let's notice, secondly, the trial of Daniel. The trial of Daniel. Every Christian with a good testimony will have trials. In fact, the Bible says this in 2 Timothy 3:12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Every man that determines to live for God will have some trials. Every woman that determines to live for God will have some trials. Now notice the trial of Daniel, verse 12. It says, then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Here we see that Daniel, first of all, is conspired against. The conspirators gather in the king's court. Verse 13, then answered they and said before the king, that Daniel, which is of the children of captivity of Judah. Notice the way they say it. That Daniel. That Christian, we could say, that fundamental Christian over there, that Daniel, he's not praying to you, king. He's praying to the God of Jerusalem. Now, I want you to notice that Daniel is now going to experience the trial of his faith. And I also think, as a side note, we can learn here that whenever someone is lifted up by God, there will be those who will attempt to destroy him. And we need to recognize in our minds that if there is prominence, there is going to be a payment that comes or a trial that comes. I would say this morning, if you see across this land God blessing someone, whether a preacher, whether a Christian businessman, you see God blessing them, you ought to pray for them. The fact of the matter is that while it may look like everything's great in their life, chances are they're being attacked or ridiculed or going through a very, very difficult time. We do not have many Christians in public office, but when you hear of one, you ought to pray for them. We do not have many churches being blessed in a great way in this day, but when we hear of them, we ought to pray for them and pray for men and women of God who are blessed, because they're going to have trials, and you're going to have trials when you stand up for God. Daniel was conspired against, but notice, secondly, he's finally cast into the lion's den. He's cast into the lion's den. Notice what it says in verse 16. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, now watch this, thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. Now, we don't know if he's emphatically saying, he will deliver thee, or he will deliver thee. We don't know the heart of Darius the king, but it's an amazing thought to ponder here that as Daniel is being thrust into the lion's den, that the king is holding out some hope in Daniel's God. Now, I don't know where your hope would be if you were cast into a lion's den. I hope it would be in God. And again, if you think this is just some fairy tale or the stories of the gladiators or the story of the Christians being thrown to the lions and all of that is just fairy tale, you're wrong. This is how they did things during these particular types of empires. I heard about a particular man who came into the house one day, and they had been on a survey trip over in Africa, and the man came into his house and he was bragging to his wife that he had cut off the tail of a man-eating lion. And his wife said, "Well, why didn't you cut off the head?" And he said, "Well, someone else had already cut off the head." And he was just proud that he'd cut off the tail. Now, a lot of folks, you know, they're real strong until the trial finally comes into their life. But Daniel was strong before, during, and after the trial. And because of that faith, the king had noticed something special about Daniel's life. And the king, this unsaved Darius, says in verse 16, "Thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee." Now, I want you to take note of this. When we walk with God, the unbelieving people that live and work with us are going to take note of our God. And even if they don't have a trust in Him for salvation, many times they begin to sense that He is a powerful God. For example, Acts chapter 4 and verse 13 says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." In other words, in the New Testament, when people heard Peter and John preaching, they said, "Wow, those guys are the followers of Jesus Christ." And here's the lesson. It ought to be said about us that because we live for Jesus and because we believe in God, that our life has strength and that our life has power, and that people would be able to say to us, "God's going to take care of you. I'm sure your God will help." Not long ago, I was talking to an unsaved man in our community, and we've witnessed to him and tried to encourage him to come to know the Lord as Savior, and he just won't get saved. And so I keep in touch with him every few months, try to make contact with him. And while we were talking one day, I told him about another man from our church that he used to know that had passed away and gone to be with the Lord in heaven. And when I told that to this unsaved man, he said, "Well," he said, "he was saved, wasn't he?" An unsaved man said, "He was saved, wasn't he?" And the implication was that this unsaved man at least was comprehending in his mind that if someone is saved the Bible way, then they go to heaven after this life. And what I'm trying to say is this. Sometimes you think those guys at work aren't listening or they're not watching, but they are. And sometimes we think people in our community aren't taking note, but they do. And Darius said, "Daniel, I hate to see you going into this lion's den, but your God will deliver you, won't he? Your God will take care of you, won't he?" And may God help us to be this kind of people, that we would have a different testimony, even during trials, that we would be faithful so that others would say, "I know that God will take care of him. He has a great and a mighty God." I'll tell you, this community may not know our God, but because of our testimonies, they ought to know that he is a mighty God. And so we see the testimony of Daniel and the trial of Daniel. But notice finally, the triumph of Daniel's life. The triumph of Daniel's life. Notice verse 18. "Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever." That's like saying good morning back in those days. And verse 22, "My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lions' mouths, and they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt." The question of the king comes in verse 20, and the answer of Daniel comes in verse 22. And we see in Daniel's life that the man who fears only God need fear no one else. God had delivered him. As God had delivered the Apostle Paul in the New Testament, so God had now delivered Daniel. We see this in the Old Testament. And God will deliver you as a Christian from your trials and from your difficulties. I want you to recognize that there was great triumph in Daniel's life because he had a great God who had honored his prayer. But I also want you to recognize this, that even if Daniel's life had been taken, even if Daniel had been eaten by the lions, he would have still been a victor. You see, for a Christian to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. My friend, it doesn't matter what happens to us in this life. We are on the winning side, and we have triumph through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see the triumph of Daniel because God had protected him. Now, you may be going through a trial this morning. You may be having some difficulty through this holiday season, someone that perhaps is persecuting you, some trial in your life. But I want to remind you that God is able to deliver you during that time. I want to encourage you to dare to be a Daniel and to stand up for Jesus Christ and to make the right choices and let God take care of the rest. In your workplace, dare to be a Daniel. In your neighborhood, dare to be a Daniel this Christmas season and let others know that the name of Christ means everything to you and let God take care of the consequences. Someone says, why, if I pass out a flyer, if I let it be known what I believe about Jesus, they might think so-and-so of me. But I want to encourage you, don't worry about what men think, but be concerned about what the Savior thinks. We see the question of the king and the answer of Daniel. But you know, more than that, we see the power of God here. We see the power of God protecting His man. God has power to deliver us. God has power to deliver us not only from trials, but I want to say this very quickly. God has power to deliver us from sin. Now, I want you to get this in your heart. Far more miserable than being in a lion's den is being lost in sin and not knowing whether you'll spend eternity in heaven or in hell. Not knowing where you'll spend eternity. You see, sin can trap many a man. But God sent Jesus Christ, His Son, to this earth to die on an old rugged cross. That on that cross, as Jesus died and shed His blood, the Bible records for us that whoever trusts in Jesus Christ is delivered from sin by the power of Jesus Christ. I want you to see that in the New Testament. Turn, if you would, to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. And maybe your neighbor doesn't have a Bible. You might want to share with them. But turn over to Galatians for just a moment. And let's see how God delivers us today from sin. God delivered Daniel from the lion's den, but God delivers us from sin. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 3. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father. By the way, that's always the order. First, you must experience God's grace before you experience God's peace. Grace be unto you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen to these words. Who gave Himself for our sins. Why did Jesus die on the cross? For our sins. That's why He came. And thank God He did come, because all of us were in the lion's den of sin, so to speak. All of us were trapped and without hope in our sin. But Jesus came for our sins. But notice what else it says, verse 4. That He might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. How many of you believe, according to the Bible this morning, that God delivered Daniel from the lion's mouths? I do. Well, I want to tell you something. You might be here this morning, not facing lions, but facing an eternity without God, facing sin in your life without the forgiveness of God. And I want you to know something this morning. God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, the perfectly sinless Son of God, lived and died on this planet Earth, and then rose again on the third day so that you too could be delivered from the power and the grip of sin. And I want to challenge you today, if you do not know for sure that heaven would be your home when this life is over, that if you would put your faith in Jesus Christ as Savior, He would deliver you this morning from the power and the grip of sin for all of eternity. Now, my friends, God places these truths in His Word for our benefit. In fact, even the Old Testament has been given for our encouragement. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 11 says, now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. God says, I told you the story of Daniel, so that you men in 2000 would have an example to live by. I want you to have this in your mind, men. I want you to have this in your mind, ladies. Daniel chose to serve God. I want you to know that what you are in this life is the sum total of the choices you make. When we choose the weak and the lower, we will become weak and lower. And when we choose the strong and the higher, we will become stronger and stronger. You are what you decide. And when we see this matter of choices, we're reminded of the fact that God has given us a free will whereby we might make choices. And we look at the life of Daniel and we say, thank God for a man who dared to make the right choice, who had a wonderful testimony, and who through his trials was able to triumph because he chose to trust in God. And men and women, may we make right choices today. May we choose to be faithful to our God in this day. And if you have never received Christ as your Savior, you've never stopped and confessed your sin to Jesus and asked him to come into your life and be your Savior, then I want to encourage you this morning to choose Jesus Christ as your Savior, to make a choice for him. By the way, he's already made a choice for you. He's already pledged his life for you and shed his blood for you. But now the question is, will you choose Jesus Christ as your Savior this morning?